Good morning. I am super excited to be here and share this message. I want to give a little disclaimer. The Holy Spirit woke me up Thursday night, which would have really been Friday morning, with this idea of what we're going to do today. And so, literally in 2 days, God has put this together, and it's amazing that when we step out in faith. I want to encourage somebody that's scared to step out and do something, and you don't think you have what it takes to make it happen. I don't have what it takes to make it happen. I think that's why God waits till the last minute to tell me, so that I don't start thinking higher of myself and thinking I have something to do with it, because I don't. And when you have to put something together in 2 days, you know that God's involved. Because when the people come together and the stuff comes together, not that it's not work, you know that it's because of God. He has a plan. And so I'm super excited about this message, because today you are not going to be a spectator. You are going to be a participant. So you should have got 3 things when you came through the door. Did everybody get their palm branch? Their palm branch. Okay, now listen, y'all aren't waving your palm branches at me. And so I've got to tell you that if you're sitting here and listening to me, you have to be participating for this to work. Okay? Okay, let me try that again. Okay? Are we on board? Okay, so you got a palm branch, and then you got a red piece of paper, and then you got a nail. And I'm going to tell you what we're going to do with all of them a little later. But you can keep that palm branch in your hand. Father God, let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for today. I pray for fresh anointing. Lord, I thank you for even the idea, the creative idea that you gave me. Father, I pray that all distractions will be bound. I pray that every lie of the enemy will be bound in the name of Jesus. I pray that you would open our ears and to hear, our eyes to see, and our hearts to receive your truth and respond in obedience to what you're saying to us this morning. I pray for clear communication and for fresh anointing, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we just invite you to move in this place and in our hearts today, in Jesus' most holy name. And everybody together said amen. Okay, so another part of what we're going to do today, Jacqueline, wave your hand. And Sarah, are you back there yet? There's Sarah. So Sarah's on this side. Jacqueline's going to be on this side. You still got your mic? And they got mics in their hands. So sit about middle, Jacqueline, or whatever, so you can see. I'm going to be asking you questions. And so as I ask the questions, I need one-word responses, not 10-minute responses, although you may feel like you want to give a 10-minute response, just a one word. So if I ask you, how are you feeling, you could say, I'm feeling excited to do an illustrated sermon like this and be a part and be an actor today, right? So if something makes you feel sad, then you say, I'm feeling sad. But what you're going to do is raise your hand if you want to speak. Let's see if we can practice this. Raise your hands. There you go. You can raise your hand, and then they're going to try to come. They're going to take turns coming to some people, but we're only going to do about 3 or 4 with each question. And so if they come to you, then you stand up and you share the how you feel. Okay? Y'all got that? So far, so good. Like I said, today you guys are part of, y'all are actually actors. Who's ever wanted to be an actor or an actress? Y'all are lying. You all wanted to be it as a kid. I know you did, because every little kid wants to be an actor or actress. So today is your opportunity. But we also have a few other people that are going to be playing some roles. And so I'm going to ask you to give me a little grace, because I didn't have time to get an army of people. So you may see some actors playing one role for one thing and a different role for something else. Cut me some slack. It's acting, right? So they're characters. No, but really, I think it's going to be fun, but you got to participate. Okay, so no more quiet church. We're gonna get loud in here, and we're gonna have a good time. Anybody have any questions? Great. No questions. That's what I was hoping for. So we're going to experience some of the things that happened the last week of Jesus' life. So we're going to start with, number one, Sunday morning, or Sunday, like Palm Sunday, a day like today, the week before Jesus was crucified, or before he rose from the grave, and it's the triumphal entry. So everybody get your palm branches. Got them? It was a Sunday like today. People were getting ready and traveling to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. So in John 12 through 15, it says, the next day a great crowd that had come from the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took their palm branches and they went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a donkey and sat on it, as it is written, do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. Okay, so you got your palm branches. You ready to wave them in the air? Everybody stand up. See, I'm going to make y'all participate. Everybody stand up. Now, I want to try this. We're going to put the words up there for blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Okay? Can we see it? Okay, there it is. Okay, you ready? Hosanna! Hosanna! Okay. Okay, so you thought that was all you're going to have to do. That was just a practice, okay? Because I think we have some friends joining us. I think a few of the disciples, and maybe Jesus himself is going to be here this morning. I mean, I know he's here every day in the Spirit, but I think we're really going to see him. Look, there he comes right there. Now, minus the donkey, of course. Hosanna! Hi, Jesus. Hi, disciples. Isn't this awesome? Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Can you just imagine what it must have been like to be in Jerusalem and to realize that the King of Kings, the Messiah, the one you'd been waiting on, was riding a donkey, like the prophet said, and coming right down your road. Can you imagine what it felt like? So I want you, right now, Sarah and Jacqueline are going to be up. I want you to raise your hand and tell me how that felt, how you think it would feel. One word, to be there with Jesus and blessing him. Don't be bashful. Humbled. Get a hand up there.
Humbled.
Humble. Fortunate. Amen.
Fortunate.
Fortunate to be there. That's a good one.
Excited.
Excited.
Hopeful.
Pardon?
Hopeful.
Hopeful. You had hope.
Blessed.
Blessed. Okay, that's good. Those are good. You can sit down for a minute, but don't get too comfortable. I just can't imagine how it must have been for those people that were there. I mean, we were portraying something that we know is not the real thing right now. But even in doing that and waving palm branches, I felt excited. And I felt blessed. And I felt all those things that y'all felt. Because just to think that Jesus, our Messiah, is here. So it was a very triumphal day. And I'm sure that Jesus felt very blessed, too, by the people as they, you know, I told Thomas, who's playing Jesus, I told him, I said, don't you get too big a head when everybody's saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But he's the most humble guy that I know, so I'm sure he'll be just great. The number two thing that I want to talk about was Thursday evening. So it's Thursday evening, and what happened Thursday evening? The disciples, they were making preparations for Passover, and Jesus and his disciples were coming in to supper. As they were coming in, they sat down and began to eat. But Jesus got up and went over to a jar of water and began to wash the disciples' feet. One after another, he washed their feet. When he came to Peter, can you imagine what it must have been like if you were a disciple? Sitting there and Jesus began to wash your feet and you knew who he was. You had walked with him. You had talked with him. You'd seen him do miracles. And he's washing your feet. Can you imagine how they must have felt? Well, the Bible tells us how Peter felt. It says, but Jesus got, it says, when he came to Peter, Peter stood up and said, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus said, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. Peter said, no, you should never wash my feet. And Jesus said, unless I wash your feet, you have no part in me. Then, Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Give me a baptism right here, right? And Jesus says, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you are. Jesus and his disciples went back to the table and continued talking, eating, and drinking. And as they finished, they sat back and they were just kind of eating and talking, and Jesus began to do the Last Supper, and then he was talking to them and he said, do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. So I want to kind of pause right there for a minute and ask you a question. How does that make you feel? To be thinking that Jesus washed our feet, the disciples, we're disciples of Jesus. And Jesus would wash our feet, and he says that we're supposed to wash others' feet. That's the example. So how does that make you feel? Raise your hand.
Confused.
Unworthy.
Humbled.
Those are all great answers. It is amazing to think, you know, speaking of humbled, this just happened last night. So I'm trying to get this whole illustrated sermon together, right? And so I was up last night fixing some costumes because, of course, they weren't all the way they were supposed to be. And so finishing up my stuff, and I finally get ready to go to bed, and I decide to go to the bathroom, right, before you go to bed. And I flush the toilet. When we have one of these toilets that flushes up, and so anyway, make a long story short, it has a little alarm on it in case it's not flushing correctly, right? And so it's 2:00 in the morning, and I am already exhausted, ready to go to bed, and the alarm starts going off. I'm like, oh, not tonight. But it will not stop. You can unplug the thing. You can do everything to it. It will not stop the alarm until you do something to it. So talk about humbling. Last night at 2:00 till 3:00 this morning, I was cleaning out the toilet. And it's not like your toilet. And but I was like, okay, Lord, I got the message. I mean, but that's how I feel when you think about Jesus, my Messiah, my Lord, my Savior, like washing my feet. Were you one of the dirtiest places you walk and you pick up dirt and your feet? I just, you know, and he loved us so much that he gave that example, that we would be servants for other people, that we would stay humble. And I just think that's an amazing, amazing example that he gave us. As they continued, Jesus became troubled in the spirit and said, "Very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at each other at a loss to know which one of them he meant. One of the disciples whom Jesus loved. I love the way the Bible puts that. The one whom he loved. I'm like, you love us all, right? Was reclining next to him. Peter motioned to this disciple and asked him, which one he means. And leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" And Jesus said, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Where'd Jesus go? Judas already left. We didn't have a lot of time for a rehearsal, guys. Got to have a little bit of humor in this thing. And then Jesus said to Judas, who is God, what you're about to do, do quickly. And Judas left. But seriously, have you ever been betrayed by someone close to you? One of your favorite 12? I mean, there were 12 disciples. There's only 4 here tonight. But have you ever been betrayed by somebody super close to you? I know I have. And the closer they are to you, the more it hurts. And you know, the thing that I love about what just happened is Jesus later says that he calls Judas his friend. Even though Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him, still called him friend. And that to me, like, how do we feel? What is our first response when somebody, can you see hands, Jacqueline? I need a little bit of light, Patrick. What is your first response when somebody's betrayed you? How does that make you feel?
Brokenhearted.
Yes. Good answer. How
Ouch.
Else?
Ouch. Disgruntled.
He said disgruntled.
Disgruntled.
And she said, ouch, like it hurts.
It does hurt.
Oh, Eve.
Yell at Eve. Angry.
Devastated.
You know, my first response normally is anger. It's like, how could they do that to me? You know, have you ever had the questions, after all I've done for them, how could they do that to me, when you feel betrayed? And hurt is a great one, because I don't know, the closer they are to you, the more that you've given them your heart, right? And so it's those that you share your heart with and your experiences with, and then when they become a Judas and they betray you, you are brokenhearted. It breaks your heart. And that's happened to me several times throughout the years, and you know, I never get to where it doesn't hurt. But I have learned to still love the people and realize that it's not the people that are betraying us, but it's the spirit behind that. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of darkness. And what happens is, the Bible talks about that Satan entered Judas at that point. And that's what happens. Some of the people closest to us, the enemy uses them to try to kill, steal, and destroy us, to try to crush us down. And so we all had those feelings, but Jesus had those feelings as well, and he experienced every one of them. So number three, we're going to go to late Thursday night, the Garden of Gethsemane. In Matthew 26, 31 through 56, for the sake of time, I'm just going to share this story. Jesus and his disciples are walking and singing a hymn to this garden. When they get there, Jesus says, when they get there, here they go. See, they're singing. They're so good. On cue. When they get there, Jesus says, this very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. And Peter said, even if all fall away on account of you, I will never leave you. And Jesus looks at Judas and at Peter and he says, truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And Peter says, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. Can you relate? And all of the others agreed that they wouldn't disown him either. Now they get to the garden and picture this. Okay, remember, it's late. It's dark. They all just got through having a big feast and eating. Not to mention, they had to walk to the garden. They didn't have cars back then. So exercise. Now, what do you do when you've eaten a big dinner, you've exercised, and it's dark, and Jesus asks you to pray? Everybody together. Sleep. So that's what happened. But Jesus, it's supposed to be what happens. But Jesus tells him to sit while I go over there to pray. He took Peter and two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. He confides to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Jesus goes deeper into the garden and prays, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but yours as you will. Then he goes back to the disciples. And he finds them all sleeping. And Jesus says, couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? Just 1 hour? To Peter, he says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's a powerful statement right there. See, a lot of times our spirit is willing, but what happens with our flesh? And we have to get to a place where we take control over our flesh and not let our flesh control us. And we operate out of the spirit instead of our flesh. Then Jesus went back to pray. My Father, if it is possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. The Bible talks about that Jesus was grieving so much that they say that the drops of tears were blood. And I can't even imagine, can't put myself in the place of Jesus and what he knew was going to happen in front of him. I mean, when you begin to think about this is my rendition of a scourge, that cat of nine tails that Bob talked about last week, it had metal pieces in it like this. It had bone in it, and it, as they would lash it, you really don't want to be hit with this, because I put real metal and bone in this, it would literally rip the skin off their back. And Jesus knew this was coming. And Jesus knew this was coming. A crown of thorns. And they were bigger thorns than this. This is a rose bush that thank you, Sarah, made for me last night because I couldn't find mine. And they crammed that over our Lord and Savior's head. And they took nails and nailed him to a cross. And they mocked him with a sign on the cross that said, King of the Jews. It wasn't because they believed he was the King of the Jews. It was because they were mocking him. And all this he knew. And he still said, not my will, but yours be done, Lord. Has God ever asked you to do anything like that? Even close? I know for me, he hasn't. But that's what Jesus was going through. And while he was going through that, the disciples were asleep. And all he'd asked them to do was pray. Finally, Jesus got up. He went to them the third time, and he got up and asked them why they were still asleep. And then he said, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. And as they were leaving the garden, a large army, crowd of soldiers and Judas, we only have Judas today, came and met him. And here's one of his 12 disciples that comes up and betrays him. And he betrays him with a kiss. To me, that was the ultimate betrayal, because a kiss is normally a sign of greeting, a sign of love and affection, not a sign of betrayal. But in this case, Jesus' friend betrayed him because Satan had entered in. Amen. So I'm going to ask you today, how does that make you feel? Let me see some hands.
The price that he paid for me to be free.
Guilty.
Yeah.
Lost.
So I want to talk about our feelings. I got Jackson up here. He's going to help me. Some of you older people like me, and some of you young ones that know good music, will know this song. So let's try it together. Are you plugged in? Ready? Can you turn him up? You recognize it yet? Feelings. Oh, I'm in the wrong key. Nothing more than feelings. Yes, help me. Trying not to forget my feelings. I can't hear that. Feelings of love. Okay,
hold on. We gotta hear this from Raymond again. Ready?
Do the feelings whoa whoa. Well,
the feelings whoa.
Uh-huh.
Feelings whoa. Whoa, feelings. Hold on, it gets better. Hold on. Again in my arms.
You get what I mean? Let's try it again all together. Feelings. Whoa. I can't even think how it goes.
No, let him sing it.
Whoa. I practiced
feelings.
This. There you go.
Whoa. Feelings.
Oh, there you go.
Come on.
Whoa.
Again in my arms.
Amen. That was feelings. How did that make you feel? Y'all having fun yet? I thought we needed a little break there, right? Feelings can get us into all kinds of trouble. And deception is one of the biggest ones. In the days that we live in today, if we trust in our feelings, that's why I've been asking you, how does that make you feel? How does that make you feel? Truth is, we have emotions, we have feelings, but we can't trust in our feelings and our emotions. Because if we trust in our feelings and our emotions, we're going to do the wrong thing. The only thing that we can trust in what's coming before us and what we walk through each day is the Holy Spirit, is knowing Him and hearing Him, because He's going to tell us to do things that our spirit, our feelings, don't want us to do. You know, the Lord does not work like we do, right? His ways are not our ways. And we're not going to be able to be really good Christians if we can't, and followers of Jesus, if we operate out of our feelings. And so I'll give you a little example. Last week, before this crazy week started, we were preparing for Easter and everything. And there's been a team of people preparing for next week, so you don't want to miss it. You want to invite friends. I have been out, even as busy as I've been, every time I've gone to a store, I've given somebody a ticket. I just carry a wad of them, and I come in, I go to checkout, and I go, here, do you have a place to go for Easter? And I've had about 3 or 4 people act really interested. I had one girl that, she didn't act so interested. She looked at me like, church? I had about to go to church. But I gave her the card anyway, and I walked out, and I prayed for her. And I said, Lord, send another person into her life, because she needs you. Right? So that's how easy it is. You just have to do it. And so, but feelings, this story, talk about feelings. I had some bad feelings this day. So anyway, I'm driving, I'm crazy busy. I'm on Sand Bass Road, and I have a flat tire. Now, I have a little one of those gauges that tells you when your tire's getting low. And all of a sudden, it pops up on my dashboard, and it says 3 pounds. I'm like, what the heck? And I'm thinking it's wrong, first of all, because it didn't feel like I had a flat. But it goes from 3 to 1 like that. And so I'm on Sand Bass Road trying to figure out, where am I going to pull over? So the part of Sand Bass Road I was on has no shoulders, zero shoulder. It has a big ditch like this. And I'm like looking for a place to pull over because I cannot drive on a flat zero tire. And so I see this long driveway. And the driveway was longer than from me to the back of the sanctuary. I mean, it was a long driveway with a gated house. The gated house, you couldn't see through the gate. So I thought, perfect. There's plenty of room. If I pull up a little ways on the driveway, they can get around me if they come in or out, and I'll be fine to get my, and it's flat, and I can get my flat fixed. So I'm sitting there taking stuff out of the back end of my car, and I hear this honk. Todd's talking to me. So I'm sitting there, and I hear this honk, and I walk over to the lady. She's pulled out of her driveway and or up to me, and she goes, what are you doing in my driveway? And I go, I had a flat tire. I'm so sorry. It's totally flat, and I'm trying to call help to come change my tire. Why are you in my driveway? I mean, I'm not kidding. She goes, ah! And then she just pulls off and says, I'm late for school, and then she leaves. And I'm thinking, well, she's having a bad day. So I'm there for an hour. I call roadside assistance. They're supposed to be there within an hour. It's like 2 minutes for the hour to be up, and this lady pulls back up. And she comes home from picking up her kids, and she starts walking to my car. So I get out to go walk to her, and she goes, why are you still here? And I go, well, I still have a flat. I can't go anywhere. Well, why did you pick my driveway? I'm not kidding. This was like, talk about button pushing. And I'm like, well, because there was no place to pull over. Well, you could have just pulled over on the side of the road. I wanted to go, are you looking at the side of the road that I'm looking at? You can't fix a flower. But I was nice. I didn't say, I just said, well, I'm sorry. I just saw your driveway. I thought this would be a great place to get my flat changed. Where are these people? Like, you need to move your car. Like, like, this is private property. And I said, I've called roadside assistance. They're supposed to be here in an hour. That's 2 minutes from now. So I will get out of here as soon as I can. And she goes, well, if you don't, I'm going to have your car towed. Then she marched back to her car. She got and went in her little private gated house. And I am telling you, first of all, I would never respond like that. If you have a flat in my driveway, I will help you. I will do whatever I can. I will get you something. I'm just hospitable. This lady needed Jesus. And so my first thought was, I'm going to pray that Jesus puts her out in the middle of nowhere with four flat tires and nobody to help her. I mean, I'm not kidding. That's how I felt. And then I felt the Holy Spirit goes, now, would that be good? And I said, no. So I blessed her. And I said, Lord, put somebody in that lady's life to show her Jesus, because she sure does need him. You know? So how do we respond when those things come to us? And I'm telling you, it was all I could do to not curse that woman. But instead, I chose to bless her and to pray for her salvation. Because the truth is, we're going to run into people like that all the time. And there are going to be more and more people like that around us. And we need to be ready to respond the way Jesus would respond. Not try to pick a fight. Not, you know what I mean? Just bless them instead of curse them. Sometimes we just have to keep our mouth shut and be humble and be peaceful and not respond. Amen? You know, when you think about Jesus and the disciples and how they responded, if you think about it, they walked and talked with Jesus. They saw his miracles. They experienced the miracles along with him. They knew he was the Messiah. And yet, still, all the disciples fell asleep. Except Judas, because he wasn't there, while Jesus just asked him to pray. Judas betrayed him for money. And then once he realized what he'd done, then he hanged himself. All the disciples, when Jesus was going to the cross, ran and hid, except Judas, because we know what he was doing. And Peter, who stood up and said, I'll never deny you, Lord. I would die for you, denied him three times before the rooster crows. And I'm telling you, that was early in the morning, because I got a neighbor across the street that has, or across the lake that has a rooster, and they crow really early. So just from the time that he was with them at the Last Supper till the time that the rooster crowed, Peter had already denied him three times. How quick our feelings and our heart can change. From blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord to crucify him, crucify him. Peter even cut off, talk about feelings, Peter even cut off the soldier's ear that came to arrest Jesus. But Jesus, in his mercy and his love and compassion, he healed the man that was going to haul him off and beat him, scourge him. He healed him. Did a miracle right there. How would you respond? Just saying. Feelings. Nothing more than feelings. You just can't trust them. Thomas, even after Jesus had died and rose from the grave, Thomas doubted. Even when he saw him standing there, he doubted that it was really Jesus. So, I mean, we're all capable of all these emotions and all these feelings all the time. And we need to be aware of our feelings so that we don't fall to our feelings, but we do what God's telling us to do. Amen? So Friday afternoon, we're going to go to the last example, the week of Jesus. Friday afternoon, Golgotha, the place of the skull. After Jesus had been through many trials and tribulations, he was mocked, flogged, scourged, spit on, stripped naked, a crown of thorns placed on his head, a reed in his right hand, and again mocked, Hail, King of the Jews. Then they made him pick up his cross and carry it through the people and up to Golgotha for his crucifixion. Jesus was so weak that along the way, they had to have someone carry the cross for him. So pick up your red piece of paper. Audience participation again. Now I want you to crumble it up like it's a rock. The reason why this piece of paper is red is because it represents anger, rage, contempt. The same people that blessed him with the palm branches, the same people that blessed him with the palm branches screamed out, "Crucify him." And we want Barabbas instead of him. Give us Barabbas. The same people. In a week, in less than a week. So can you all stand to your feet? So we're going to practice this. We're going to say, "Crucify him." As he comes through, as he passes by, I want you to just, like, you got to be with anger. I want you to feel those emotions of crucify him, throw those rocks at him. I know, it's hard. Jesus, the soldiers, and two others. Oh, that's my cue. So the word should have come up on the screen where it says crucify him. So I think Jesus and the soldiers are coming now. Okay, you ready? Crucify him! Crucify him! Let his blood be on us and our children! Crucify him! Crucify him! Let his blood be on us and our children! Where, what happened to my audience here?
Crucify it. Pick it up.
Crucify it.
Get up.
Give us Barabbas.
Crucify.
Crucify.
Hey, you pick up that cross and carry it for him.
Get up now.
Weakling. Let's go, Jesus. Hurry it up.
So how'd that make you feel? I noticed that you started out screaming it, but you quit. How'd that make you feel?
Undone.
Conflicted.
Unsure.
Embarrassed.
Ugly.
It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to think that my sin caused my Savior to go through so much pain. Now I want you to pick up your nail that you got.
Pastor Tammy.
Uh-huh.
Her word was ashamed.
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 That's a good one. Pick up your nail. Look at it and think about how Jesus must have felt with every pound of the hammer. I lost my hammer. As these were hammered into his hands and into his feet. So I gave you this nail because I want you to take it and remember that every time that we are asleep and not doing what God's asked us to do, every time we sin, it's like hammering the nail into Jesus all over again. Let me ask you this question. What about you? Where are you with Jesus? Is he your Savior and your Lord? Because if he is, the good news is there's redemption. The good news is that Sunday's coming. And next week is the resurrection. But today we're focusing on the last week of his life. And if you don't know Jesus, you're still a sinner. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. If you don't know Jesus, the only difference in you and me is that when that hammer comes down on Jesus, there's no forgiveness. There's no redemption for you. I have good news, though. It's not too late for you. You're still alive. You're still breathing. You still have an opportunity to change things for your destiny for eternity. See, I think Jesus, knowing that eternity is forever, what he went through while he was here, for him, it was worth it, because he knew that those that come into his kingdom that believe in him will spend eternity with him. But if you don't know him, if you walk out this place today and you don't know for certain in your heart that you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, or if you need to rededicate, I want to invite you to come down as the worship team. Jacqueline, I need you and Sarah back up here as y'all begin. We're going to sing the beginning of a song, and as we do, don't let any question be in your heart. What better time to come to know Jesus and to really surrender to him everything than this week? And next week you can get baptized. It's not too late. But you're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not even guaranteed tonight. A lot of stuff can happen in a week. For Jesus, a lot happened in a day. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to come down front. I'm not going to let you just stand back there and raise your hand. So can you begin to sing that song? Yeah.